gospel reading today is our Lord tells us that we're going to be persecuted. Obviously, speaking in this case to his apostles, but we have seen this throughout history, and we're seeing it again. And so when he tells us that you'll be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and then we'll put some of you to death, we tend to think that couldn't happen. And yet, all we have to do is look, for instance, at what happened in England as the Catholics were persecuted. If somebody remained faithful, their children turned them over to the government, or their parents turned their children over to the government. And as I keep pointing out, all you have to do is look back 5 years ago when everything was locked down because of this scam. If a five-year-old had a friend over, they had people, the neighbors calling the police. There's a car parked in the driveway that doesn't belong to them. They must be having a party or something, and the police would have to be called. What a joke. Everybody is reporting on everybody else. Gets to be just like East Germany before the fall of Berlin, where 50% of the people in East Germany were spying on the other 50%. And that's what they want to be happening. But it isn't going to work. Because the Lord told us that when this happens, you'll be brought before kings and governors and all the other things, and he said, but it'll lead to your giving testimony. And he also told us not to worry beforehand about what we're going to say. So it may be that God will give somebody the words, but far more important is going to be the example. If we can remain at peace, if we can keep our focus on the Lord, even if they put us to death, and we can be at peace and even be joyful, that will speak far louder than any words that we would ever be able to speak. So however the Lord wants to provide, however he wants in each of our lives to work, maybe he just wants you to lead a peaceful life and nothing's going to happen. Maybe you're going to be turned over, maybe you're going to be persecuted, maybe you're going to be put to death. We don't know what's going to happen. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're doing the will of God. But we also recognize that it is, as the old saying goes, the blood of martyrs that is the seed of Christians. This is what's going to bring an end to the persecution. Just like we can look back in France when they were persecuting the church, and those Carmelite nuns that were brought to the guillotine. Each one of them continued singing the Salve Regina until their heads were cut off. And it was very shortly thereafter that the persecution ended. And so, while there were many, many people who were put to death, it seems pretty evident that it was the example, the charity of those nuns and their blood that was shed that brought an end to that persecution. So we don't know how God is going to work with each one of us. But what we can say is similar to what we heard in the first reading. If we take what is consecrated to God and we desecrate it, that is not going to sit well with the Lord. When King Belshazzar decided to use the vessels that were for divine worship, and he was going to use it for a party, that was where God drew the line. The people of Israel had been completely unfaithful. God allowed the temple to be destroyed. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to steal all of the things from the temple. But that was because of the infidelity of the people. But to take those vessels, the chalices that were part of divine worship, and to use them for a party, that was unacceptable. Just as it would be today. If somebody were to take the chalices at a parish and use them for some secular purpose. That's different from using, somebody wanted to use the marble on the floor and use it for a different purpose. That's one thing. We'd still be horrified by it, but it's one thing. It's another to use the sacred vessels for something else. You are a sacred vessel of the Lord. And for you to be violated and used for something different than what God intends is something where he will draw the line. It won't necessarily be immediate, as we heard in the first reading, where suddenly this hand starts writing on the wall. As we know, sometimes the persecutions go on for many, many years. And yet at the same time, it is the collective charity of the Christian people that ultimately went out. And so it will be for each of us, whatever the circumstances are, as we today continue to watch as people leave the church in droves, as the foolishness coming out of Rome becomes more and more idiotic. It's a question of whether or not we're going to remain faithful to Jesus, or whether we're going to go along with everybody else. Because, after all, it's easier that way. We're not asked to do the easy thing. We're asked to do the holy thing. So as things continue to get worse, we have that test. If it comes to the point of actually being persecuted, we will have that test. If some of us are martyred, we will have that test. Whatever it is that is going to glorify God, that's the part that we have to be about. So we look at the sacred vessels that we use for Mass. You say, those were made for the glory of God. So are you. And if someone is going to ultimately glorify Satan by violating what has been consecrated to God, it will not stand. You will get to go to heaven, but God will intervene on earth. So we just need to trust him. No matter what happens, we need to trust and we need to remain faithful. That is the key to everything. It will be so easy to say, but look at all the priests and the bishops and the cardinals and so on. Who cares? I mean, it's horrific, but that's not what's important. What is important is that we remain faithful to Jesus, period. Even if everyone else doesn't. Remember back time of Elijah, he honestly thought he was the only one left. He was the only prophet remaining. But he said, I'm the only one. And God said, no, you're not. There are 7,000 who have not bent their knee to Baal. 7,000 out of a couple million who remained faithful to God. So it was a tiny fraction. So it might feel like you're all alone. You're not. There will be others who will remain faithful. And even if you were the only one, the only thing that matters is remaining faithful to the Lord. So that's the call for each one of us. As we ponder all of these things that have happened in the past, we look at what's going on in the present. It doesn't take a genius to see what's coming. We need to be prepared. By prepared, it means to make sure our spiritual life is in good shape and that we're growing in that fidelity to the Lord and in our love for the Lord, so that no matter what happens, we will not be shaken.